Good morning, Franciscans.
Good morning.
Well, I got a cold, and sorry about that, but I'm dosed, and I'm going to be careful around the altar and at the peace, and I'm here to have a good time, so we will. Did you get my email this week?
Yes.
Everybody did. Of course, it wasn't from me. We've been scammed again. So good for you for knowing that any emails you get from me, unless if I want to reach you, I'm going to call you. So any emails you get from me, be very suspicious. They're scamming us once again. Now, Reverend Pam is on a lake in Ontario with her cell phone turned off again today. She'll be back with us next week. And Becky, our deacon, is at a deacon's conference somewhere in Tucson, and she'll be back with us. So it's just you and me today. And we have the bulletin in which our service is all printed out. And we're especially glad to have you who are visitors with us today. So welcome, follow the bulletin, and by all means, come have coffee with us after the service. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning in the Gospel, Jesus is telling us a powerful story. St. Luke is telling us a powerful story from Jesus' healing ministry. I love the healing stories in the Bible because they call to my mind so many prayers answered. Prayers for healing, for church friends, for family, for myself. So much of this good news occurs because we have lived long enough to benefit from the age of medical miracles. After I conducted a funeral in the chapel of a long-term care facility, I was greeting people at the door, and I met a dapper gentleman, probably in his 80s. Like many who attended, he had a state-of-the-art tubular walker. But he stood erect and walked only with a slight tremor, so he used the walker, as some of you do, just to steady himself. When he introduced himself, he told me proudly, "I'm walking again for the first time in 10 years. Well, that got my attention. I asked to hear his story, and he told me about another resident of his facility who had spoken with excitement of the great results she was getting from acupuncture. He went to her acupuncturist, and the dramatic result is that having lost his mobility 10 years previously, now this man was walking again. It gave me goose flesh to hear his testimony because medical miracles like those Jesus performed occur all around us. Hip replacements and knee replacements have become a rite of passage in later life. We're privileged to witness these things and to be able to say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Thanks be to God." Now, I'm not addressing the question of why everyone who asks is not healed. That question of God's unfairness or God's remoteness is a real problem, but it's the subject for a different sermon. Today, we begin simply by recognizing that our church's healing ministry is grounded in Jesus' own ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. In fact, in today's story, Jesus interrupts his own teaching in order to respond to the appearance of this crippled lady. You've heard the story. What do you think? Is this woman's healing physical or spiritual? Both. You're so Anglican. Well, it's certainly physical, isn't it? She's bent over. Now she stands up straight. But there's room here to infer a spiritual healing as well. Jesus announces she is set free from the bonds which cripple her, and she bursts into praise for God. Yeah, physical or spiritual, it feels like both. Being healed physically goes hand in hand with being healed spiritually. And spiritual healing is what reveals Jesus as Savior. Salvation, being saved, is also being salved, healed. Spiritual healing and physical healing are bound up together in Jesus' ministry, and they've been inseparable in the church's ministry of healing ever since. We have an example of this from the medieval period, when the prospect of healing was central to the faith and belief of Christians. The great curse of the medieval centuries was the plague, which could decimate whole families, whole armies, whole cities. In fact, plague decimated the population of ancient Rome and was a considerable factor in the fall of her empire. People of faith prayed to the saints that they and their loved ones might be spared from the plague, and if not spared, healed, cured from it. The saints with the highest number of answered prayers and cures granted gained reputations as plague saints, and one of the very most effective plague saints was Saint Sebastian. Sebastian was a soldier in the Roman army of the 3rd century. He was a Christian, and he comforted other Christians who were martyred under the emperor. When the emperor Diocletian realized what Sebastian was doing, he had him shot by archers and finally beaten to death. Then, in the centuries following his death, Sebastian, who was by this time declared a saint, gained a worldwide reputation for answering prayers for healing from victims of the plague. And that's why museums and galleries of European art are filled with paintings of Saint Sebastian, shot through with arrows, but gazing out, looking up in hope toward his Savior. When someone got the plague, it was first detected in swollen lymph glands. So the painters of Saint Sebastian characteristically placed the arrows piercing him artistically close to his throat, his armpits, his groin, because those are the early warning signs of the lymph nodes, just as they can be for cancer today. In so many ways, the church has a powerful ministry of healing in every age. Today, many Christian denominations sponsor hospitals. In downtown Los Angeles, the Hospital of the Good Samaritan, where Senator Robert Kennedy was taken after he was shot, is an Episcopal hospital. These days, hospitals welcome the ministry of clergy, recognizing the spiritual benefits of healing. Many even offer parking privileges to clergy. And it was an Episcopal chaplain at Los Angeles Good Samaritan Hospital who first encouraged me to seek ordination as a priest. Here at St. Francis, I'm impressed by your healing prayer ministers, members of the Daughters of the King, who offer spiritual healing through prayer when offered during the Sunday services. Your lay Eucharistic visitors pray with shut-ins to whom they take communion. And Jim Ratley has a wonderful ministry here, informing us who has asked for prayers for healing and composing thoughtful and heartfelt healing prayers for us to pray on their behalf. And when somebody among us is sick, a prayer quilt made by a member of the congregation is brought here and blessed, and then taken to the parish hall where you can take some of those loose threads that are left on the quilt and tie them in a knot as you say a prayer for healing for the person to whom the quilt is going. How many of you here this morning have ever worked in the field of healthcare or counseling? Wow. Yes. The Episcopal Church supports physical and spiritual healing. Now, let's get a bit more personal. Let's talk about one form of healing, healing of relationships, at St. Francis. When parish members let the staff and clergy know who is ill or injured, we're pretty good about responding. Clergy visit you at home or in the hospital. Jim Ratley composes a beautiful prayer, which we all pray for you. That's our best response when you take the initiative to let us know your special need. Otherwise, when we don't hear from you or we don't see you on Sunday, we assume that everything's okay. You're doing fine. Traveling, we hope. Visiting grandchildren. But down inside, we know better. We fear the worst because no news is bad news. When relationships aren't being strengthened, they're being weakened. Healthy people keep in touch, with friends, with family, and with church. Other churches have figured out that they can't always leave it to their members to initiate contact and let us know how they are or when they're sick. And we, your clergy and staff, want to hold up our end of a relationship with every member. We've learned about a way to keep in touch with our members by initiating contact. And now we're really excited to share it with you and to implement it in our parish. This is a ministry of telephone contact around the parish. At home, you get a phone call from the church office. A parish member introduces herself or himself, asking, "We're calling to ask how you are. Have you any concerns you'd like us to pray for?" If you report a matter of serious concern, the caller may ask, "May we add this concern to the Sunday prayer list? Would you like us to let the clergy or the prayer team know about this?" The caller may even ask, "Would you like me to pray with you about this right here on the phone?" Isn't that a great phone call? There's no pressure. The person called can respond freely, yes or no, to every invitation. It's not rocket science, it's pastoral care. It's carried out by volunteers with warm personalities and an easy conversational style, all on the phone. Phone calls are made to everyone in the parish once, twice, three times a year. The ministry is called Telecare, and any information you share is as confidential as you wish it to be kept. We plan to begin this fall, just as soon as we have a core of volunteers. Please prayerfully consider this ministry of phone care. If it sounds right for you, or if you'd like to know more, please let Pam or me know of your interest. We've all learned that there's no such thing as too much communication. Some people are pining away in isolation, and we're going to reach out to them. But personal contact heals and strengthens every one of us. Contact is a kind of prayer that tangibly extends our prayer for the welfare of others. And we're going to initiate that contact with all of God's people on the member list here at St. Francis. Physical healing and emotional healing are wonderful wherever we encounter them, because we recognize them as gifts of grace. And when we trust God enough to place ourselves in His arms of love, when we find Him sufficient even when we feel vulnerable and at risk, when we really live as if nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love, then we can find our spirits healed and our faith made resilient and our truest selves saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.